We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Sal Capaccio joins us on the Western Hotline as we gear up for Bills Patriots tomorrow night from Gillette, and the Patriots are going to wear their retro jerseys. The Bills, by the way, are wearing their throwbacks, I believe, in the Dolphins game. Sal, you would know this, right? I'm pretty sure it's even on the ticket that the Bills are wearing the throwbacks in their game against the Dolphins.
Not anymore. I mean, they used to do the parking ticket. They used to do. We don't have the paper parking tags anymore.
Digital. Someone will tweet it at us soon because there might be like a digital badge or something. I've seen a helmet against the Dolphins,
yeah,
and it's this standing buffalo. Someone will send it to me. But anyway, Sal's appearance brought to you by Outlet Liquor. When it's time to stock up, it's the best place to buy a case. What's your outlet? So, Sal, let's start with Von Miller. He's got a couple of different revelations via his podcast. First, the injury that he thinks he might be able to play through it with 7 to 10 days of letting the swelling go down. And, of course, the next injury thing for us to watch obsessively is how they handle Von Miller with a meniscus damage.
Yeah, Von is one of these, I'd say, like kind of new age media athletes in the media, you know, where, you know, they really take ownership of their own message and they have their own podcast, which he does. It's called the Voncast, which you're referring to. He does his own gaming streaming on Twitch. Did that earlier in the week. He actually indicated there, apparently, to some people who are watching that this would be the case, what he actually said yesterday, which we'll get to in a second. So, you know, he actually says himself here, he kind of breaks the news, if you will, that he says that he's exactly kind of what we've been hearing from Ian Rappaport and Jeremy Fowler and Adam Schefter, which you wonder if maybe, you know, Von or someone from his camp was talking to them originally about this, because it's pretty much the exact same info, which is let the swelling. He said, we're going to let the swelling go down about 7 to 10 days. That's the timeline we all were told anyway from those guys. And then he's going to, and he said he's going to see if he can play on it. He thinks he can. And it sounds very hopeful. It sounds very optimistic. I will say there is obviously the door is open there for maybe this not being able to be the case. And I want to just kind of be cautiously optimistic here.
I'm glad you said that.
Look at it, right? Because I think there is a chance here, the way he phrased it, that he is leaving it open, that it might not be possible that can happen.
He is optimistic, Sal, by nature. Like, if you listen to his message in every way, he is someone that is an optimistic person. From, like you just mentioned, timelines for injuries to Beckham's going to sign to trash talk. He says he likes to be nice. Like, he generally tries to keep a positive spin on about everything. So I think that would fit in line here.
No doubt about it. And I believe wholeheartedly he believes what he's saying, that he thinks he can actually do this. But I do just want to point out that, you know, he doesn't say like, hey, I'm definitely all good and all that. He just said it's not great news, but it's not the worst news is the way that he said it. Right. So I just think we have to kind of wait here, see how it plays out. But, you know, hopefully he'll feel right. He said, hopefully before the Jets game and he'll be back. That doesn't even mean he'll be back for the Jets game. Just means he's going to hopefully feel right before the game. Maybe that's another game where, you know, they sit him out. Even if he does feel right, maybe it's like, hey, let's wait another week. There's two different timelines here. There's timelines where maybe he feels and the team feels that, okay, yeah, we can do this. And then there's a timeline of when do we want to do it, right? If that makes sense, right? It might not be, okay, we think he could play and on this brace and do this, so let's put him out there right away. It might be, we think he can do this, but we're still going to give him a couple more weeks.
So how do you think the Bills feel about Miller being so open with information and such in his podcasts and whatnot?
It's funny, my wife asked me the same thing last night, Joe, when, you know, we were kind of talking about this. And I don't know exactly, but I would say I don't think they would care as much. It's Von Miller, right? I mean, I think you know when you sign up for Von Miller, I think you vet him enough to know this is the kind of person he is. He's going to be transparent and out there and, you know, talking and on these podcasts and things like that. Plus, I get the sense, I don't know this, that nobody went to him and said, you know, please don't say anything. You know, please don't go on your podcast and say anything. And if he feels he wants to say that, then I think that's, hey, you know, the guy's been in the league a long time. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's earned that respect that if he wants to talk about it, he's going to talk about it. In a lot of ways, I look at it like Aaron Rodgers going on Pat McAfee yesterday. Aaron Rodgers goes on Pat McAfee every week, really just like Von Miller basically does anyway. But Aaron Rodgers goes on Pat McAfee every week. It's called Aaron Rodgers Tuesday. And he reveals a lot of stuff when he goes on there. And he's Aaron Rodgers. And he talks about his medical situation or what's going on off the field. I think this is the same situation where, you know, hey, if Von wants to reveal what's going on, then, you know, that's up to Von, and he's put his time in the league, and he's at this status where, you know, who are we to say not to do it necessarily?
Yeah, and it's something that I think a couple players on this team, Diggs said it when he was on with Von, that the Bills let you be you. And Sal, I think that with the the next generation of athlete, however you want to say it, I think that is a selling point for the Bills, that they're not going to overreach. As long as it's not detrimental to the team. I mean, and, you know, let's go all the way to Cole Beasley. Like, Cole Beasley had a lot of headlines last year, and I don't know if they ever shut him up, but the point is, like, they will let you be you as long as they don't feel like you're giving away state secrets. I think that's pretty much the line for them.
Well, I think the way the Bills say it, as you guys know, is be the best version of yourself. Right? I mean, I think that that's what you have to do. You allow these things. You allow them to... These players, if they have their podcasts like Von or whatever, they go on and they talk to the media, and that's the best version of themselves. I think that if you stifle them, then you're not allowing them to be the best version of themselves, and it goes against your core principles of guys you bring it to when you bring guys in here. So, yeah, I think that all fits, right? Let you be you. We're going to let you be the best version of yourself, and I think that that works together, and it seems like, you know, everybody's on the same page there.
Sal, I wonder if you didn't have to hear our conversation about Beckham, which Miller also said. Von said that Beckham's coming in on Friday, and I wonder, you know, granted it's a lot of it's speculation, but how far down the road do you think this would be? With Beckham making visits to the Giants, the Bills, and the Cowboys, Joe and I were just kind of suggesting that you've got to think that every one of these teams is at least willing to maybe go where he wants to go financially or term or whatever, because these are the finalists. These are the teams that are willing to bring him in for a visit and try to tell him why it works here. It doesn't mean they're all the same package, but I would imagine the Bills on Friday, if he's coming in, as Miller said, are ready to go full court press, or what would you kind of expect in this scenario? Again, understanding that, you know, it's a bit of speculation here.
Yeah, and Von confirmed what we've all heard and been reported on, that it's going to be the Bills, the Giants, and the Cowboys. And what he said was, I don't think he's leaving. It's not over for me. He basically said, when he gets here, I don't think he's going to leave. You know, and again, that's Von being optimistic. That's Von being positive. That's just who he is. But I thought the interesting part was, too, that he said something to the effect of, everything we planned for at the beginning of the season is still in front of us. So, you know, as much as all that stuff, I mean, let's go back to the beginning of the season, the Rams game, like, and talking about Odell Beckham Jr. Like, this is basically him confirming, like, yeah, we've talked about this. We've talked about him coming here. We've talked about, you know, what we could do together. And he says, I'm coming back at some point. Everything we want together can still be in front of us. And for the Bills, it's really interesting to me from an organizational standpoint, guys, which is that they are still in this. And despite not having much salary cap room, you know, still trying to find their way to another receiver and bringing John Brown back, and, you know, Marquez Stevenson coming off the getting his 21-day window open. Well, there's Odell Beckham, and we're still in this, and we're still trying to do this. So obviously there's been interest from the team for however long, and there still is, and it appears it's been interest for a long time because of what Von said yesterday. And do I think that they're going to open up the vault? No, I don't think that you're going to do that for Odell Beckham. And I don't know, maybe Jerry Jones does, and maybe that's how he gets them. I get the sense the Giants wouldn't do that either in their situation. The Giants are in a situation where they're kind of playing with house money to me, which is, hey, you get this guy in, he can help you a little bit, helps the fan base, but they've won a lot of games in year one with a new regime. I think they've really kind of sold themselves to their fan base. They don't have to do that. Jerry Jones really wants Odell, and he thinks he can win a Super Bowl. He probably can with the team he has. We'll see. I think the Bills feel that this could be somebody who could really help them. Obviously, they want to win a Super Bowl. What I think the Bills would have to do is be creative, though, and say, okay, what are you looking for? Now, what's interesting is, Odell said a while back, or at least the reporting was, that he wants to go somewhere where, you know, it's not just a one-year thing, where he can stay for a little while. And I think that actually plays into the Bills' hands. I think that actually helps the Bills, where if he's not looking just to come here and to play the rest of this season and get a whole bunch of money, then, you know, the Bills can maybe structure a contract and say, hey, come here, we can work on some things, push some money, get a couple void years, whatever. May cost them a little bit on the salary cap in future years, but I think that at least that gives them an opportunity to say, we can do that for you. We can bring you here. Von's here for a few more years. You can be with him. You can be with this group. We'll work with you, and we can spread some money out.
Yeah, Joe and I, he asked me that question, like, what would you rather do, the first-round receiver? As you know, I think receiver will be a conversation for this team in the offseason. Would you rather go that route, or would you sign up for Beckham for 2 to 3 years? And while I'll fully admit that the first-round receiver might be a better long-term plan, the Beckham thing could help you now and later, and I think it signs up as potentially a good move. It comes down to, what, the doctors trusting ACL, repaired ACLs, which they're doing with Tre'Davious White. So I'm not sure, you know, what kind of medical is shared in this situation, but I'd imagine if the Bills feel comfortable from a medical standpoint, then they would feel comfortable from a general, you know, term standpoint for a year or two or three.
Yeah, I think that's right. And that's why you get him in. You see how he's feeling and you check on him and all that has to be figured out. Then you start to talk about parameters and, you know, what you're looking for as far as a deal. You know, not that you're saying it has to be one or the other, obviously, guys, but I don't think it takes him out of maybe taking a wide receiver next year in the first round if they get Odell or not. I just think that they're at a point now where maybe next year you have to start looking at that based on the way this year went, and then you sort it out and you can figure out who's on the roster as you go forward at wide receiver. Because I think that it's an area that they do need to address. And even if you have Odell Beckham Jr. on your team to start training camp next year at, what, 31 years old at that time, I still think that's an area that you still have to address on your team. There's a lot to be decided, of course, between now and then. But I do think the Bills can play that game with him. If he wants to be here, wherever he wants to go, apparently he wants to get a contract where he doesn't have to worry about moving teams again, moving cities again. He wants to kind of make his home for a couple of years. I do think the Bills can offer that the way they could structure a contract.
I do wonder, too, about the Cowboys a little bit and whether they can even do the long-term deal he would want. They had to trade Amari Cooper in the offseason because they wanted to pay Michael Gallup. And they did pay Michael Gallup. So they've already got two receivers under contract. CeeDee Lamb is still in a rookie deal, but he's going to need a deal at some point. So I think the Bills' odds are pretty good to get this done if they have the commitment to do it. And just the fact that they are on the visit list should mean that there's already some conversation that's been had beforehand, and that Beckham believes that they would be willing to meet him somewhere close to what he wants contract-wise, or else I don't think he'd be visiting. So
I would say this, though, Joe, that the way the Bills have operated under Brandon Bean is they will have some sort of value placed on Odell, right? That's what they do with free agents. Doesn't matter if you're a free agent in March or whenever. They're going to have a value. Your own guys, you're going to have a value placed. And I think that it's just, hey, you know, and sure, you can adjust that as you go and you massage things, you talk about it and say, okay, well, you know, maybe we'll move off this a little bit and go up or down or whatever. But I think they'll, like, I don't think it's a situation to me where he comes in, they have this value, and they're going to be like, hey, what do you want, man? We need to bring you in here. It's, hey, this is what we can do. This is what we're willing to do. And hey, if you can't do this, then, you know, best of luck to you, because we're not going to, you know, hurt our organization and stability and financially for the next few years by doing this. Like, that's the way I read it. It's the same way, like, you take a guy like Levi Wallace last year who left. Now, I think that Levi Wallace leaving was impacted by them also thinking they had J.D. McKissic, because when that happened, it was right in conjunction with Levi Wallace. And if they had actually kept known they weren't going to get McKissic, they might have been able to keep Wallace anyway. But I think that was tied. But my point is, you put a value on a guy. And hey, if another team offers more, then, you know, we're not going to just get into a bidding war for people. We have values and we place on them, and that's what we're going to do.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Sal, to the offensive line, we talked a lot about Vaughn and OBJ. Deion Dawkins not practicing. The expectation is like the ankle injury might keep him out. What would be the plan at left tackle? Dawkins has been very durable since being drafted. I can only remember one game, and is it COVID that keeps him out against Carolina where Spencer Brown goes to the left side? Is it just as easy as that Spencer Brown goes left and the Bills kind of manage on the right? Is Questenberry in the mix? Like, what do you think the plan is on the offensive line if Dawkins is unavailable?
Yeah, and then last year in the New England game, I don't think he started, but he came in and played, if you remember. It was right after that Carolina game. He's kind of, you know, so he didn't start, but he played. But you're right, he's been super durable. I don't think it's as simple as just putting Spencer Brown from right to left. I think it's as simple as maybe just putting in Questenberry based on what we saw last week. That was a different situation last year when they were in that situation. Let's see what they did last week. They put Questenberry in. Now, remember, they didn't have Mitch Morse last week, so Ryan Bates had to play center. We all saw last week, after Deion went out especially, the pass protection issues this team had. And that's very scary, thinking about it. But I will note, they also had very little practice time last week. They were shuffling it. They had their starting center out, so they had to move another guy. And it happened during the middle of a game. Now, granted, you have to have contingency plans, but they didn't have a game plan necessarily going into the game to have no Deion Dawkins. In this situation, you have 7 days to prepare. You are planning on maybe not being without him, so you can plan everything you need to. I don't think it would be Spencer Brown, just based on what they did last week, and they didn't have Questenberry last year. Questenberry can do it all. He can play left. He can play right. He played left tackle in this league. I think, to me, that's the more obvious play. Keep Spencer Brown where he normally is, who, by the way, he hasn't been great at right tackle anyway. I don't know if you really want to move him to Josh's blind side and put him on the left side anyway, but I think Questenberry makes the most sense. He's played there in this league, and you know that's what you did last week, and that would, to me, just be the one-for-one switch. If you move Spencer Brown from right to left, you're changing two people, and I don't think they want to do that.
I wonder, too, if it impacts at all, like running the football and like where the Bills' decision-making might be on that right now, Sal, because with the elbow injury, you might have thought, okay, they want to manage his workload a little bit, run it a little bit more, take a little off his plate. That's what they did against the Browns. And then last week, no Morse. Dawkins leaves the game, and the Bills, you know, like they will do other times anyway, just go all throwing, not a lot of running, and kind of put it all on Allen's shoulders. And I wonder if that's impacting at all their play calling of, okay, we're kind of a rotating door right now in the offensive line, and we know Allen can escape with his legs and create off platform and off structure to make plays that way, even if we don't protect. Whereas that run game, I mean, that might be the thing that's most impacted, I guess, by all of the changes on the offensive line and the injuries.
Yeah, are you saying that they wouldn't run the ball as much, or they would?
Yeah. When their offensive line struggles, it feels like it more goes to Allen, and because he's able to scramble and able to create time, whereas you run the ball behind a bad offensive line, and you're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah, I think all of that's in play. I they have to change some things, right? I think I look back at how they handled early in the season going against really great defensive players like Aaron Donald and Jeffrey Simmons. Now, this is a different situation, but let's remember what they did then. They called quick passes. They got the ball out of Josh's hands quick, right? They used dump downs. Remember early in the season, we were like, oh my God, they're not throwing the ball downfield. I think a lot of that was because of they were playing against players on defense that they wanted to make sure they didn't impact the game. Well, I think this can happen here too, which is, hey, we're without our left tackle. They have Matthew Judon. They have a good pass rush. Let's get the ball out of Josh's hands quick. Let's use Devin Singletary out of the backfield. Let's dump the ball down. I think those are things that you could do for. And again, let's go back to, they have 7 days to prepare for this and game plan this. The other thing that I'll say is, as you just alluded to, Joe, you know Josh can scramble around. We saw 3-4 designed runs last week by Josh in the fourth quarter. That was the first time we saw it in, you know, since he got hurt. And I keep making this point, Bill Belichick defenses do not do well against mobile quarterbacks. They just have not. Mobile quarterbacks have hurt Bill Belichick's defenses, including Josh Allen. We've seen it firsthand. Look at Justin Fields a few weeks ago. Belichick defenses, and by the way, in college, Nick Saban defenses are kind of known sometimes to not do well against mobile quarterbacks. They're the same kind of defense. And there's a couple of reasons why to me. Number one, they're so well coached to be where they're supposed to be, right? You do exactly what you're told to. When things go off structure, when things are, when you're playing those elite athletes that can do so many different things where you're not expecting them to do that, you're expecting them to do this. It becomes more challenging for those kinds of defenses to, you know, rein those guys in. And number two, I think Belichick concentrates so much on taking away your best weapon, your best skill player, Stephon Diggs, let's say in this case, or maybe Dalvin Cook or Justin Jefferson, whatever, last week, you know, some a running back. I think he concentrates so much on it, and he does such a good job with it. Sometimes you're only playing 10 against 11. You have 10, they have 11, and that 11 is the quarterback, and the quarterback can do more things.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. One more thing, Sal, to look for on Thursday night. It's the Amazon broadcast. I'll tell you, you're making it everywhere. You're on the Pat McAfee Show. Are you going to be on the pre-produced open to kind of – they do that, what, like 7 days to game day or something like that? And they came in and they did some filming. So you're making your Amazon Prime debut, it would appear.
That is apparently what is happening. Now, I didn't realize. I guess I don't watch the pregame shows enough. But they do the 7 days until Thursday. And NFL Films was at the studio the other day. They filmed me doing the Extra Point show for a while. Apparently, they're going to use a couple of snippets. It might be like 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 15 seconds, I don't know, of me talking about Bills Patriots on the air. And that will be a part of the intro right around, what, 8:10, 8:12, somewhere in there. I'm not really sure exactly. But, yeah, I'm interested as well. I'll be actually on the field getting ready. I won't be able to see it. So I'm sure I told my wife, you got to record it on your phone or something so you can send it to me.
It is cool, the thing they do, the 7 days to Thursday. It's a little, you know, they get in with one team, in with the other team. It's kind of a countdown. It's a pretty cool thing. So I'll let you know how you do. I think you'll probably be all right.
Thanks.
All right.
Appreciate
all right. It. Thanks, Sal.
You're welcome, guys.
Sal Capaccio on the West Hur Hotline for Bills Patriots, which is tomorrow night. Sabres play tonight against Detroit on the road, 7 o'clock. And, of course, you can hear that game here as well. Nick Mendola on the other side will recap the USA's 1-0 win over Iran and set the stage for their knockout stage game Saturday against the Dutch, against the Netherlands. 803-0550 if you want to chime in. 1-888-550-2550 here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.